I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for this opportunity. So I just want to begin with a story. Many years ago, my family went to Tzfat for Shabbos, and we drove from near Yerushalayim all the way up to Tzfat, and we got there, we got in our apartment, and we unpacked, and I'm getting ready for Shabbos, and I realized I'm missing my brush. So I look around in my suitcase and my backpack to try to find the brush. I can't find it. So I think maybe I left the brush in the car. So I go to one of my parents and I say, could you give me the keys to the car? I think I left my brush there. So one of my parents hands me the keys and says, take it. And you can even turn on the light in the car if like maybe it's in the drawer and you need more light, but don't forget to turn off the light in the car. So I say, no problem, I won't forget. I get to the car, I look around, and I wanted to look into the compartment there, so I turn on the light, and I find my brush. And then I look at my watch, I really saw this is in like 5 minutes. So I quickly shut the car, lock it, and run off. We have a beautiful Shabbos. It's Shabbos in Tzfat is unbelievable, especially in the Old City. We do Havdalah, and this happened in the summer. So Shabbos got out around 9 o'clock. So we pack our stuff, and we're out, and we're gonna go to the car. And as we're walking to the car, we notice that the light in the car is on. And my heart drops. Oh no, the light's been on the whole Shabbos. I hope the battery didn't die. We have a long journey ahead of us, like 3 hours, and it's 9 o'clock. Without any delays, we'll be home at 12. And now, so I'm praying, even though the light's on, maybe it didn't die. So we get to the car. One of my parents puts in the keys to the car and it's dead. It doesn't open up. It doesn't start, and I feel terrible. What are we gonna do? We have to go back to Yerushalayim. What are we gonna do? So we able to stop a cab driver, and we said, listen, our car is not working. Do you have a cable, and maybe you can jump start our car? He said, no problem. He connected his car to our car. He jump started it, and we were able to get home safely. The reason I'm sharing this story with you is that I believe that's an apt mashal to the period that we're in now. We're in the time period of the Yamim Noraim, Elul, Tishrei. And Rav Pinkus writes in his book on Elul, he says the following. He says Hashem specifically set up this time period of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres as a roadmap, as a guide to connect to Hashem. And Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shmini Atzeres, they're all stations. They're all different means of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, we begin with Elul, that's the beginning. And the final destination, the climax of this entire process, is Shmini Atzeres. And it's interesting, we know that in a relationship, sometimes it can grow stale, right? In the beginning, it's exciting and you have energy, and then you get busy with life and you don't take the time to invest in the relationship like you should. You don't take the time and energy, and then it kind of fizzles out. It kind of becomes stale. And so there are different books written that if you're in such a relationship that you want to revive it, you want to make it more like how it was in the beginning, there's different tools and techniques you can do to revive it. So this process that we go through in Elul and Tishrei is a roadmap how to revive our relationship with Hashem. We love Hashem and we want to have a relationship with Him, but during the year, we get busy with work, with school, whatever it is, and we don't always take the time to invest our energies to make our relationship with God the number one priority. So what does Rav Pinkus say? Hashem set up the year that when we have a new year, when we go through the Chagim, when we go through this whole process, it's a roadmap. It's a means for us to revive that connection with God. Just like when that car, right, the battery died because I forgot to turn off the light. All you had to do was jumpstart it, and then it went back and we were able to drive 3 hours and get back home. So too, when we go through this process, it jumpstarts us, it reconnects us to God. And the finale of this entire process, the climax, the end destination is Shmini Atzeres. So it's interesting that Shmini Atzeres is the end, is the climax, the pinnacle of the tshuva process. It's also the end or the final process of the Shalosh Regalim. We know we have Pesach, then we have Shavuos, Sukkot, and then the end of Sukkot is Shmini Atzeres. So we see that Shmini Atzeres ends off the Yamim Noraim, it's the climax, it's where we're striving to go to, and it's also the climax, the final destination of the Shalosh Regalim. So what I wanted to do is, today I want to talk about the secrets of Shmini Atzeres. I want to try to unravel some unknown facts about this holy day. This day is the final destination which we're striving to come through our tshuva process, Shmini Atzeres. And in order to be able to properly take advantage of this day, we need to understand what this day is all about. So what I want to do is I want to ask some questions about Shmini Atzeres, and hopefully by getting the answers will give us clarity on this holy day and help us be able to really connect to Hashem and really achieve what Rav Shimshon Pinkus said is the goal of this process. So let's begin. We're going to ask a lot of questions and hopefully answer them. Question number one, why doesn't Shmini Atzeres have a special mitzvah performed on that day? Most holidays, most of the chagim have a special mitzvah unique to that holiday. Pesach, we have matzah. We don't eat matzah on any other holiday, but we do it specifically for Pesach. We know Rosh Hashanah. Shofar is the mitzvah specifically unique for Rosh Hashanah. Sukkot, we have a sukkah. Arba Minim, we have the Lulav and Esrog, etc. Yet it seems that most of the chagim have a unique mitzvah unique to that holiday. There is no unique mitzvah on Shmini Atzeres, and the question is why? Why don't we have a unique mitzvah that we perform on Shmini Atzeres? That's question number one. Question number two is, what exactly are we commemorating? What are we celebrating on Shmini Atzeres? Pesach, we left Egypt. Shavuos, we got the Torah, right? Sukkot, we're recalling that Hashem took care of us in the desert. What happened on Shmini Atzeres that we're celebrating? Most holidays have an event that we commemorate. What happened on Shmini Atzeres? Question number two. Question number three has two parts. Shmini Atzeres, writes the Sefer Toda'a, the Book of Our Heritage, is actually a separate holiday than Sukkot. We know that Pesach, we have the first day, if you're in Israel, in America, or in Chutz La'aretz, it's 2 days, or Yom Tov. Then we have Chol HaMoed, and then we have a last day, Shvi Shel Pesach, the last day. Now we know Pesach is one long holiday. There's a Yom Tov in the beginning, where we do Seder, then there's Chol HaMoed, and then there's at the end, Shvi Shel Pesach. Shvi Shel Pesach is a continuation of Pesach. It's one long holiday. That is not so with Shmini Atzeres and Sukkot. Sukkot, we have the first day is Chag, then we have Chol HaMoed, and at the end, we have Shmini Atzeres. It's a completely different holiday. When we light candles for Shmini Atzeres, we say Shechianu because it's a new holiday. It's adjacent. It's right next to Sukkot, but it's two separate holidays. We have Sukkot 7 days, and then a new holiday, Shmini Atzeres. So if that's the case, and it is, Shmini Atzeres is a separate holiday than Sukkot, then why is it called Shmini Atzeres, the assembly of the eighth day? It appears that it's a continuation of Sukkot. Sukkot is 7 days long, and then Shmini Atzeres is on the eighth day. If it's a separate holiday, why is it called the eighth day? And if it's really a separate holiday, then I have bad news for us. We've always been taught that there's Shalosh Revelim. There's three festivals, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. The Torah says in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, 3 times a year you come to the Beis HaMikdash. But according to what we just said now, there's really 4 holidays. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, and we said Shmini Atzeres is a separate holiday. So it really should be 4. So how do we understand that? And the final question for today is that we know that our rabbis instituted every Shabbos we read the Parsha. And we finish the cycle. The rabbis set it up that we finish reading, going through the entire Torah on Shmini Atzeres, and we have something called Simchas Torah. On the same day of Shmini Atzeres, we rejoice with the Torah and we dance around. Well, there's a thing known that we should not mix joyous occasions. For example, if someone's getting married, you're not allowed to get married on Yom Tov. Why? Because there's the happiness of the Yom Tov, and then there's the happiness of getting married. You don't mix them together. You do them separately. So that's why you're not allowed to get married on a holiday, because it's two different simchas. So why are we mixing two simchas? One is Simchas Torah, we're rejoicing with the Torah that we've learned through the entire Torah. And number two, we have the simchas of Shmini Atzeres. So why are we combining them together? So I'll recap quickly, and we'll try to begin to answer these questions, some unravel some secrets of Shmini Atzeres. Question number one, why is there no special mitzvah for Shmini Atzeres? There's always a special mitzvah for all the chagim. Why doesn't Shmini Atzeres doesn't have that? What are we commemorating? What happened on Shmini Atzeres that there's a holiday? Question number two, Shmini Atzeres is a separate holiday. We say Shechianu when we light. If it's a separate holiday, why is it called the eighth day? It makes it sound like it's a continuation of Sukkot, but it's not. It's the first day. It's one day. Why is it called the eighth day? And if it's really a separate holiday, so really we should have 4 regalim, not 3. But we know there's 3, so how do we reconcile that? How we understand it? And finally, why do we celebrate Simchas Torah and Shmini Atzeres? There's an idea that you do not join two simchas on the same day. You don't get married on Yom Tov because that's a happiness, and Yom Tov itself has a happiness. Why are they combined together? So let's go out together. The first question, let's begin. Nesiva Sholem brings a mashal, and I'm going to share with you a mashal based on his words. Why don't we have a special mitzvah on Shmini Atzeres? He says the following. He doesn't say exactly this. So I'm going to adapt his mashal. A boy and a girl are going out on a date, on a shidduch date. So the first date, they meet in a cafe, and they order coffee, she gets Coke, and they talk, and they decide to go on a second date. This time, they go to the park, they go Gan Avradim, and they go on a walk, and they have a picnic. The third date, they go out for ice cream, then they go bowling. Every time they go on a date, they're always doing something, eating, bowling, something. Why? Because through doing something, they're hopefully building a relationship, getting to know one another and see if they're matim, if they're suitable for one another. I want you to fast forward 10 years. And this couple, they got engaged and they're married for 10 years. They're married for 10 years. And it's been busy, it's the chagim, and they want to just go on a walk, the two of them. So they go outside and they sit on a bench out right outside their house and they talk and they're enjoying themselves. They're just enjoying their company, one with each other. Now, the couple, they don't need to do anything to have fun. They don't need to go out to eat. They don't need to go biking. They don't need to go on a hike. Just being one with each other is enough. Why? Because they've been married for 10 years. They've had 10 years of building a relationship with each other, that they're at a stage where they don't need to connect through something. They can just connect by being there. Says in the Siva Shalom, all the other holidays, how do we connect to Hashem? We connect through a mitzvah, right? Pesach, we got out of Mitzrayim. So we connect to Hashem, we connect to that time, to the day, through matzah. Sukkot, how do we connect to Hashem? Through building a sukkah, through lulav and esrog. But as we said before, and Shmini Atzeres is the climax, is the finale, is the last stop of reconnecting with God. And hopefully, if we've done the process correctly, by going through a Rosh Hashanah, by going through a Yom Kippur, by going through a Sukkot, by connecting to God through different mitzvahs of shofar, through fasting, through sukkah, we've come to a level of closeness with God that we don't need to connect to Hashem through a mitzvah, through an activity, but we connect directly with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the same thing is with the Shalosh Ragalim. Hopefully, they're going through Pesach. By Shavuot Sukkot, by going through in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, in the times where there was a Beis Hamikdash, by going through Shalayim and connecting with Hashem, finally on Shmini Atzeres, we reached a level that is not comparable to all the other Chagim. We connect directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And says in the Siva Shalom, that's why we don't have a mitzvah. We don't have a mitzvah because we don't need a mitzvah to connect to Hashem. We are so close to God. We are so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we connect directly with Hashem. And so there's no mitzvah. That answers our first question. The second question, what do we commemorate? I'm going to get back to. Now we asked beforehand, Shmini Atzeres, we said it's a separate holiday. We say Shechianu when we light the candles. We said it's in contrast to Shvi Shel Pesach. Shvi Shel Pesach, the last day of Pesach, which is a chag, is a continuation of Pesach. We said Shmini Atzeres is not like that. Shmini Atzeres is not a continuation of Sukkot. Rather, it's a separate holiday. If it's a separate holiday, so why is the day called the eighth day? It makes it sound like there were 7 days, and now it's the eighth day, it's a continuation. So the Maharal explains the following. The Yeshiva Shalom quotes the Maharal, and he says the following. He says that seven in Judaism, in Yiddishkeit, represents nature, teva, right? There's 7 days of the week, and then it restarts again. Seven always represents nature. Eight, he says, represents going beyond nature. We see this also, Rabbi Pinchas Stuppler has a beautiful book on the Chagim, and he says the following. He says, we see this concept that seven represents nature and eight represents supernatural, beyond nature, in the word itself. In Hebrew, what's the word for seven? Sheva, shin, beis, ayin. That is the same word, sheva, as savea. Savea means to be satisfied. I eat till I'm full. Shmona, which means eight, has the shorish of the word shamen, which means fat, extra. He explains the following. Sheva is seven. Seven is you're satisfied within nature. Eight is shmona, fat. There's extra there. It's beyond. Shmona is always representing beyond. And we see different examples in Judaism that wherever you see the number eight, it's representing something supernatural. For example, when a Jewish baby boy is born, so he has a bris milah. What day does he do it on? The eighth day. The Maharal explains why the eighth day, why not the first, second? That's what Hashem commanded, but why? What? There's a reason. Everything Hashem does is for a reason. We don't always understand it, but there's a reason. Because on the eighth always represents going beyond the natural. A person, when they, a baby boy on the eighth day, he enters into a covenant, into a bris milah. He accepts, right? He enters in the covenant to accept the Torah and mitzvot. A person who accepts Torah and mitzvot has the ability to transform you, to transcend the nature, to be supernatural. My nature is to get angry. My nature is to eat what I want. But when I keep Torah, that transforms me to be super, to go against my nature, to go beyond my nature. And therefore, explains the Maharal, that's why we have the bris milah on the eighth day. When the eighth day, he enters the covenant with God. And when you enter the covenant of God, that gives you the ability to go against your nature. And eight is always against your nature. We see another example with the Mishkan. We know for 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aaron the avoda, how to bring the sacrifices, how to bring the karbonos, right? So for 7 days, Aaron went in with Moshe Rabbeinu and he showed him, this is how you bring a katoros, this is how you bring an ola. He showed him. For 7 days, they practiced. So after practicing for 7 days, finally on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which was the eighth day after practicing, was the first day that Aaron was serving in his position as Kohen Gadol, and he actually brought the karbonos for the first time. What does it say? B'yom HaShmini, right? And we know that's Parsha Shmini. On the eighth day, why is it called B'yom HaShmini? It's the first day. We said 7 days they practiced, but really the first day on the job, the first day where they actually inaugurated the Mishkan was Rosh Chodesh. So why is it called the eighth day? Again, because eight always teaches you that something supernatural is going on. What happened on Rosh Chodesh when Aaron HaKohen inaugurated the Mishkan for the very first time? The Shekhinah came down and it filled the Shekhinah. And there was a revelation of Hashem that was supernatural. Hashem was not revealed in that way in the world normally. But on that day, on Rosh Chodesh, Hashem was revealed. And therefore, that's why it says V'yom HaShmini, although it was the first day, to show us that the Shekhinah, the presence of Hashem, came down when Aaron HaKohen brought the karbanos. They didn't come right away. He had to pray. But eventually, the Shekhinah came down and there was a revelation of Kodesh Baruch Hu on the eighth day. We see this again also when we leave Pesach, 7 weeks to prepare. We got out of Egypt and then 7 days we prepare. And then the first day of the eighth week, we got Matan Torah. What happened at Matan Torah? Hashem revealed himself something supernatural. It is always something supernatural. And so therefore explains the Nesiv HaShalom, quoting the Maharal, why is it called the eighth day? It's a separate holiday. Yes, it's a separate holiday, but it's called the eighth day because it wants to teach you something about this holiday. Shmini Atzeres is like no other chag that we experience. Shmini Atzeres is beyond this world. It's something supernatural, and it's signified by calling it Shmini Atzeres. Why is it supernatural? Listen to this. As we mentioned beforehand, all other chagim that we have commemorate an event that happened in this world. Pesach, we left Egypt. Shavuos, we got the Torah, which is a supernatural event. But it happened in this world. It was connected to this world. Sukkot, right? Hashem surrounded us with Aneh HaKavod, with clouds of glory. He protects us in this world. There's always something that we commemorate, that we're remembering an event that happened in this world. And we ask beforehand, what are we celebrating on Shmini Atzeres? What happened? Nothing happened. You know what we're celebrating? The Nesiv HaShalom says, the Arizal says, we're celebrating the future. This holiday is celebrating the future. What future? The times of Mashiach. The times of Mashiach are supernatural. They're not the world we know. In this world we know there's evil, there's bad. Some people believe in God, some people don't. We don't always see God. But in the times of Mashiach, not only will Hashem be revealed, but everyone will acknowledge that there is a God. Everyone, and when there's Mashiach, there's no Yetzirah. We're directly connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So explains the Nesiv HaShalom. Shemini Atzeres is such a holy day. It's a day that's reminiscent, that's alluding to the times of Mashiach. It's not connected. This day is so holy. It has no connection whatsoever to this world. We're not commemorating an event that happened in this world, but it's something in the future. It's something we're striving to. And that by going through the entire process of the Shosh Regalim, of the three festivals, and by going through the Tkuf of the Yamim Noraim, we get connected to Hashem. It's a taste of the times of Mashiach. And that's what we're celebrating, he says. So phenomenal. Again, why is it called the eighth day? It's a separate holiday. It's called the eighth day to tell us because eight is something supernatural. This day is supernatural. Why is it supernatural? This day we're celebrating. We have a taste of what it will be like in the times of Mashiach. The times of Mashiach, it's directly connected to God. There's no Yetzirah connected with Hashem. And hopefully when we go through this whole tshuva process, we get a taste of that. We get a taste of the world of the times of Mashiach to be directly connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is why it's called the eighth day, to teach us that. And we asked another question. Another question we asked, okay, it's a separate holiday. We said it's a separate holiday. That's why we say Shechiyanu when we light our candles for Shemini Atzeres. But the question is, if it's a separate holiday, so why don't we have four regalim? There's four holidays. There's Pesach, there's Shavuos, there's Sukkot, and Shemini Atzeres. Yet I was always taught there's three. And if you look in the Torah, there's three. So how do we understand this? So explains the Nesiva Shalom. Shemini Atzeres is significantly different than all the other Chagim. And that's why it's not included in the Shalosh Regalim, in the three festivals. Why? Because Shemini Atzeres includes the main spiritual elements of all three holidays. We said, Rav Pinkus says it's all a roadmap to lead us to Shemini Atzeres. Rav Kobrin, the Nesiva Shalom, says that all the holidays lead to Shemini Atzeres. Shemini Atzeres is the goal, is the end point. And therefore, Shemini Atzeres is not considered one of the Shalosh Regalim because it includes the main aspects of all three of them together. All of the Chagim, starting from Pesach all the way till Sukkot, all lead up to this one point of direct connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Nesiva Shalom explains how. He explains how the main spiritual elements of the Shalosh Regalim are actually included in Shemini Atzeres. First of all, he gives a mashal. He said there was a king who had a wall, and he hired four painters to paint. He divided it into four sections and to paint a painting on the wall. So the first painter comes and he starts painting Niagara Falls. It's gorgeous. You'd think you're there. It was so real. The second painter comes and he does a beautiful sunset with clouds and different shades of orange and red. It's gorgeous. And the third painter paints the Amazon rainforest. Beautiful. The fourth painter comes, and what does he do? He takes a mirror and he puts it on his section, and it reflects all three of the paintings. And that way his picture is the most beautiful because it has all of them together. It has the rainfall, the Amazon rainfall. It has the waterfall, and it has the sunset. He has all three paintings on his because he has a mirror that includes all of them. Explains the Nesiva Shalom, that's Shemini Atzeres. Shemini Atzeres includes the main elements of all the three Chagim, and he explains how. Shemini Atzeres, he says, is a time where Hashem demonstrates his tremendous ahava, his tremendous love for Klal Yisrael. In the Pasuk, when Hashem says, Atzeres Tielachem, Hashem says, I want you to make another day, Rashi quotes, quoting the Medrash, that Hashem says, wait, for 7 days, you were bringing karbanos, you were bringing bulls, on behalf of the 70 nations of the world. Every day in Sukkot, they brought bulls. And altogether, it was 70 bulls, and it was corresponding to the 70 nations. So Hashem says, you've been busy on Sukkot, even though this is our holiday, but you've been busy bringing karbanos for the non-Jews. Don't leave yet. I want to have time, just me and you. Stay. And Klal Yisrael say, okay, we'll stay. What should we bring? We know that every yontif we have a korban, we bring something. What should we bring? What does Hashem say? Par achad, bring one bull. The Zohar comments, bring one bull. Why? He says the following. He says that Hashem did not want to get caught up in the meal, right? If you have a big fancy meal, first course, second course, you know, you get busy eating and tasting this food and that food. Hashem says on this day, I just want to connect with you. Yeah, we need to eat. It's a festival. But I don't want to get lost in lots of different meat and food and everything. Just do one small bowl. Because why? This is his lashon. Kidei nehana mimcha. I want to enjoy you. I don't want to get lost up in the food. So Shmini Atzeres is a time where Hashem demonstrated his tremendous love for Klal Yisrael. He said, I want a time, alone time, just me and you. And I don't want to have a big meal because I don't want to get lost in first course, second course. Just bring one bowl because we'll eat because, you know, it's a happy day. But I want to enjoy you. I don't want to get focused on eating the food and tasting the food. I want to be focused on you. So Shmini Atzeres is a time where Hashem demonstrates his tremendous love for us, that he wants to be with us and just us alone. What happened on Pesach? Hashem demonstrated the entire world his tremendous love for us. When we were in Egypt, we were on the 49th level of Tumah. We did so many sins. We were not worthy of being saved. But Hashem said, although you're on the 49th level of Tumah, I'm going to save you. And that demonstrated that God loved us. It wasn't because we were righteous. We weren't. It wasn't because we were keeping his mitzvahs. We were doing idol worship. But Hashem took us out anyway. And Pesach is a demonstration of God's tremendous love. That though, even though you're not worthy, even though you did many sins, I still am going to take you out because I love you. And it's not based on anything. I love you. Pesach was the time when we became the Jewish nation, that we became a special nation. We entered into a special relationship with us and God. And that corresponds to Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres, Hashem said, I want to be just with you. Just like Pesach, Hashem took us out. We became his one nation. Shmini Atzeres, Hashem said, I just want me and you. And I don't want a big meal because I don't need a big meal. It's good enough. You know, it's like good friends. You have a friend who haven't seen in years. You don't need to go out to a fancy restaurant. Yeah, we'll go out because we want to eat and have fun, but just being together is enough. Hashem says, I don't want to get lost in the food. I just want to be with you. So explains in Siva Shalom, that's how we see a spiritual aspect of Pesach reflected in Shmini Atzeres. We know that Shavuos, we got the Torah. Shmini Atzeres, what happens on Shmini Atzeres? Well, the rabbis instituted, we rejoice with the Torah. So there's an aspect in Shmini Atzeres that's reflected in Shavuos. Shavuos, we got the Torah, and on Shmini Atzeres, we rejoiced with the Torah. So Shmini Atzeres also has an aspect of Shavuos in Shmini Atzeres as well. And finally, Sukkos, we know Sukkos is Man Simchasenu, it's a very happy time. But do you know that Sukkos is actually the end of the din, the end of the judgment? We know Rosh Hashanah, Hashem wrote the judgment. Yesterday, he sealed it. But it's not over yet. The last day of Sukkot is called Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah has this aspect of Yom Kippur to it. People stay up late at night learning Torah all night. People daven, there's special tefillos. Why? What's going on? Explains that really the din continues on until Hoshana Rabbah, the last day of Sukkot. You're going to say, what do you mean? I thought it finished yesterday on Yom Kippur. It did. It was sealed. But the decree, the letter saying what Hashem's going to do, was not given over to the agents of the court to do it until Hoshana Rabbah, the last day of Sukkot. And therefore, if a person does tshuva, although God forbid, chas v'chalila, it could be that they have a bad judgment. If they do tshuva after Yom Kippur, before Hoshana Rabbah, the decree has not been given over. It hasn't been given to the agents of the court, so they can't do it yet. And if you do tshuva, they can rip it up. So although there's a bad din and it's sealed, you can rip it up because it hasn't been given over to the agents of the court until the Hoshana Rabbah, the last day of Sukkot. So explains that the Siva Shalom, Sukkot has an aspect of din. It has the din of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and really the sealing of the din is the last day of Sukkot. How is that reflected in Shmini Atzeres? I want to read out to you what he says. He says the following. First of all, what we said beforehand, so the Sefer Yesod V'Yashar Shavadah writes the following. Yizaher ha'adam me'od me'od. A person should be very careful. B'yom zeh shashmini atzeres. On Shmini Atzeres, you should be very careful. Lefashvesh b'ma'asav heitev. You should be very careful to look at your deeds. Why? Ki ikar mesiras gzar hadin shel adam hu biyom zeh. Because the ikar of the din, mesir of giving over the din, is on this day on Shmini Atzeres. Kimuvar b'ma'amar ha-zohar, he quotes the Zohar, she'af al pi shenimtzru ha-patekim b'hoshana rabba. Even though Hoshana Rabbah is the day where we have the letter, it's given over to the agents of the court to do whatever Hashem decided. Afalpishinim through Hapetikim Bahoshana Rabbah, Zain Lo Nathna Rishut Lishlichim Lifol Davar Ad Shmini Hatzeres. So what does this mean? We said Hashem does the din Rosh Hashanah. It's sealed on Yom Kippur, but the paper saying what the din is, it's only given over in Hoshana Rabbah. But Hoshana Rabbah, even though they have the paper, they can't do anything until Shmini Atzeres. It's like a post, it's like a check, right? You get a check, you've been paid. But you look at the day and you say, oh man, I can't cash it till tomorrow. So yes, you have the check in your hand, you have the money, but really only tomorrow you can get the money because that's when the date is. That's what happens. Hoshana Rabbah, the decree is given over to the agents to do whatever it is, but they can't do anything, even though they have the paper, till Shmini Atzeres. And therefore, he explains that Yesod V'Yesharis Havodah explains, therefore, even though if Chas V'Chalila you have a bad Gezerah that was written and you weren't able to upturn it on Hoshana Rabbah, there's still hope on Shmini Atzeres. If you do tshuva, then there's a possibility that they will not act upon it. So Shmini Atzeres has an aspect of din. Why? Because on Shmini Atzeres, the agents of the court can only act upon what they receive on Hoshana Rabbah. And so therefore explains in the Siva Shalom, all three of the Chagim are contained in Shmini Atzeres. We said Pesach, Hashem showed, demonstrated his tremendous love for Klal Yisrael. Why? Taking them out even when they're on a low level. Shavuos, we got the Torah and we rejoice over it. We're very happy. Shmini Atzeres, we rejoice with the Torah and we dance with the Torah. So there's an aspect of Shavuos in there. And finally, Shmini Atzeres has the ending of the din, which is included in Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot all have an aspect of the Gemar HaDin, the sealing of the din. The last day of Rav Sukkot is really when the decree that Hashem wrote on Yom Kippur is given over for them, for the agents to act upon it. But it's like a post, like we said, with the check. They can only act upon it once in Shmini Atzeres. So therefore, explains the Nesiva Shalom. We said we have three Chagim, but we really have four. Why is it different? Because Shmini Atzeres is significantly different than all the other holidays. It contains all of them within it. And therefore, I want to share with you an amazing gematria. There's a gematria of the word Biyom Hashmini Atzeres. If you take the word Biyom Hashmini Atzeres, which means on the eighth day, it equals the gematria of the words Shalosh Pa'amim B'Shana. If you go to the Pasuk in Devarim, Pasuk Tes Zayin, which is chapter 16, Pasuk 16, it says, three, Shalosh Pa'amim B'Shana, three times a year, Yireh Kol Zerecha Et Fenei Hashem Elokecha. The men, the male Jews, should come see the face of Hashem, B'Mekom Asher Yibchar, on the place that Hashem decides, B'Chag HaMatzos, on the day of Pesach, B'Chag HaShavuos, B'Chag HaSukkos. So if you take the letters, Shalosh Pa'amim B'Shana, which is referring to the three times that you go for Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, Shalosh Pa'amim B'Shana equals the same gematria as the words, Biyom Hashmini Atzeres, if you take out the Yud and Shmini, if you do B'Chatzer. If you take Biyom Hashmini Atzeres, the day, the eighth day of assembling, Shmini Atzeres, it equals the gematria three times a year. Why? Because we just said now, Shmini Atzeres is the goal of all the Chagim. Shmini Atzeres encapsulates, has an aspect of all three of the holidays together with it. And therefore explains the Siva Shalom, why do we only have three regalim and not four? Because the Shmini Atzeres is the goal. It's not part of it. It's significantly different. And finally, I want to answer our last question. Our rabbis instituted later on that we read the Parsha every week, and they set it up that we finish reading it on Shmini Atzeres. We said, why would we do that? Why would we finish the Torah on Shmini Atzeres? It's, I don't know, do it in the beginning of the year. I mean, we're like 3 weeks into the year. Why specifically there? And we also said, En marvim simcha b'simcha. You're not supposed to combine joyous times together. You don't get married on Yom Tov because getting married is a happy hall, is something happy, and Yom Tov is happy. You have to give each event its own time to be rejoice in that day. So why are we rejoicing with the Torah and Shmini Atzeres at the same time? So the answer is the following. It says in the Zohar, he says the following, I'll read it out to you. The Zohar comments on Parshas Achrimos. He says the following. He says, Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, Oraita, Kedush Baruch Hu, Hu Echad. Klal Yisrael, Hashem, and the Torah are one. They're all one. And so therefore, this is a day where we rejoice with God. How do we rejoice with God? When you rejoice with the Torah, it's as if you're rejoicing with God. And therefore, the rabbis felt it's fitting that we should finish the Torah and celebrate with the Torah on Shmini Atzeres, because Shmini Atzeres is all about rejoicing with God. How do we rejoice with God? When we dance with the Torah, because as the Zohar says, Yisrael, Oraita, the Torah, because there's Ruchu Chadu, they're all one. And therefore, we do that. And the Dumbe Magid brings a beautiful mashal. He says, I don't get it. Shavuos, we got the Torah, and that's a very happy time. So why are we celebrating and rejoicing now? So he brings a mashal. He says there was a king and queen, and they were the most amazing king and queen ever. They were kind. Whoever lived in their kingdom loved them. They really cared about their people, and they were so lucky to have such wonderful rulers as they. But unfortunately, they didn't have any children. They were married for many years, and they were not blessed with children. And that pained the king and queen very much, and the people as well, because the king was such a kind-hearted and righteous person, assuming their son or daughter who would be king or queen after them would be the same, and it's a shame they didn't have children. So someone told them to go. There's this guy. He has all these types of herbs that maybe can help her be able to get pregnant. So he goes to this guy, and he says, listen, I actually can give you a potion that your wife will be able to have children. But there's a condition. He says, what's the condition? He says, your wife will have a baby girl, but no man will be able to see her. You as her father will not be able to see her until she gets married. Because if a man looks at her before she gets married, she will die. So the king's like, that's an interesting, a deal. I don't really want to do that. I want to see my daughter. He says, that's it. If you do it, I can promise you that your wife will have a daughter, but you won't be able to see her until she gets married. And no man will be able to see her until she gets married. So he says, I don't really have a choice. Okay. So they take the medicine, and 9 months later, she gets pregnant. She has a baby girl. And immediately she has the baby. The king doesn't even see his daughter. They put her in a separate kingdom, and the women take care of her. And 18 years go by. She's at age to get married. And the father wants to marry off and see his daughter for the first time. So he goes through his kingdom and says, my daughter, I want her to get married. Is anyone interested in marrying my daughter and becoming prince, becoming the next king? He said, yeah, who doesn't want to become the next king? So they all line up, and the king says, but there's one condition. You can't see her until after you get married. So all of a sudden, they had lines of men. They all went away. They said, we're nuts. If the king doesn't let us see his daughter before we get married, there must be a reason. She must be ugly. And even though she's the princess, I want a beautiful wife. So no one was willing to. They understood he must be hiding something. If you're not willing to let me see your daughter before, he must be hiding something. There was one man who said, you know what? I've never seen her, but I know the king and queen, they're the most kind people ever, and any daughter they have must be the same. So I'm gonna take the risk. I'm gonna have the leap of faith. I'm gonna marry her. And he marries her. And on the day of the wedding, he sees her for the first time. And he sees her, and he's expecting to see someone ugly, and she's beautiful. He goes, wow. He's thinking to himself, okay, it must be that she's nasty. Or maybe she's not intelligent. I mean, there must be a reason that they didn't let me meet her beforehand. So even though she looks beautiful, he's scared the whole time. Everyone's dancing and being and joyous because the king's daughter's getting married, but he's shaking in his boots. They get married, and his wife's nice. She's smart. She has a sense of humor. She's a great cook. And after being married for like 3 months, he goes back to his father-in-law and says, listen, we got to do another wedding. And the father says, why? You just got married. He says, no. At that wedding, everyone was happy but me. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I was so scared. But now I see what a beautiful daughter you have. She's intelligent. She's smart. She's kind. I want to have a wedding because now I can really rejoice. Now I know what I'm really getting into. Says the Dumne Magid, Shavuos, we accepted the Torah. But we didn't know what was in it. Hashem said, do you want my Torah? We said, Nasa v'nishma. God, you're our father. Whatever you have to offer, it's great. So I'm going to take it. Of course I'm going to do it. But we didn't know what we're getting ourselves into. We don't know. There's 613 mitzvahs. You can't do this. Maybe it's going to ruin our lives. We were scared. And then after learning the Torah and having it part of our lives, all of a sudden we realize, wow, this stuff is great. Torah is amazing. It's the most meaningful and deep thing I could ever ask for. I have a relationship with God. And therefore, it says the Dumne Magen. That's why a few months after Shavuos, we dance with the Torah, because after receiving the Torah, we learn the Torah and we realize how special it is. And I'd like to add that perhaps after going through an entire year of learning, you know, learning the Parsha and applying it to our lives, we realize, wow, how beautiful the Torah is, how beautiful this is. And therefore, on Shmini Atzeres, we dance with the Torah, because we know firsthand how great the Torah is. We've had a whole year of learning it, and we realize this is the best. We enjoy it just like that Chassan, after being married a few months to his wife, he realizes she's amazing, she's a catch. She's absolutely amazing. And that's why we dance with the Torah on Shmini Atzeres. So I want to sum up and finish up with the following. We said Shmini Atzeres is the, all the Chagim lead up to Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is the finale of the Yamim Noraim. It's also the finale of the Shalosh Veragim. It's to connect us to God. And we said, we asked, why is there no special mitzvah? We don't need a mitzvah to connect to God. We connect directly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we said, why is it called the eighth day? It's a separate holiday. It's called the eighth day because eight always signifies something supernatural. On this day, we're commemorating, we're experiencing a time of the future, a time that's supernatural, a time of Mashiach, where we're completely connected to God, we're so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we said it's not considered a separate, we said it's not considered for real game because they all lead to that. And then we asked, but why did the rabbi set up that we should dance with the Torah and Shmini Atzeres? Because the Torah and Hashem is one. And so Shmini Atzeres is about dancing, rejoicing with God. And if I dance with the Torah, it's as if I'm dancing with God. And on this day, we can really appreciate how Torah has made our lives so special and so powerful, because we've finished the year of reading the Torah and connecting us with God. And now, with this background, we can understand what Rav Chaim Falagi writes. I want to share with you something phenomenal he says. He says the following, and I quote for you. Me'od me'od yizeher b'tfilah Shmini Atzeres. He says a person should be very, very careful with the tefillahs, with the prayers of Shmini Atzeres. La'omram b'kavana gdola. Say them with a lot of kavana. Why? He gives two reasons. Ki milvad shekol tikon shel hayamim. Because, first of all, it's the end, it's the rectification, it's the finale of all the tshuva process. Miyom Rosh Hashanah, starting from Rosh Hashanah ad Shmini Atzeres, hu nishlam. You know, this is the end point of the entire process. So you got to make sure that your tefillah is very powerful. That's why you have to have kavana. That's reason number one. Va'kol talui behem. Tefillahs that you daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, maybe it didn't get up. If you daven with kavana on Shmini Atzeres, that has the power to push it up through. What does he say? Hakol talui behem. Everything is dependent on those days, on the days of Shmini Atzeres. It can bring up all your tefillahs that you daven throughout from Rosh Hashanah, tell them. That's one reason, he says. But there's another reason. But there's another reason why you should have kavana, especially on Shmini Atzeres. Ki ein b'kol hayamim yamei ratzon l'Hashem. There are no other days in the entire year. Not Yom Kippur, not Rosh Hashanah, not Purim. There's no days yamei ratzon. Favorable days in the eyes of Hashem, lishmoa, to hear tefilato, to hear your prayer. B'chol ma davol, everything he wants, ki yom hazeh. Why? K'mo she'amru b'zohar ha'kodosh, he quotes the Zohar in Parshat Tzav. Ba'oto yom on Shmini Atzeres, lo nitzim im ha'melech rak Yisrael levad. We have a special audience with just us and God. U'mish yoshev im ha'melech levad, and whoever's with the king by himself, kol ma she'yishol nachnimo, whatever you ask, God will give you. Shmini Atzeres, we said, is a day of tremendous devekus, of tremendous connection with God. It's just us and God. Just us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're on a level, we've gone through the whole Rosh Hashanah process. We've gone through all the regalim. We're so close to God. He says, "En yamei ratzon lishmol tefilaso." There is no other day that's favorable in the eyes of Hashem to hear your tefillos. And so therefore we need to understand, next week we have Shmini Atzeres, understand there is no day more favorable in the eyes of Hashem for Hashem to hear your tefillos than Shmini Atzeres, because it's just us and God. And by you davening on Shmini Atzeres, first of all, you finish off all your tefillos that you've davened through the entire time, and the chances of Hashem answering your prayer are very high. There's a saying that says, strike when the iron's hot. So according to this, Shmini Atzeres, the iron is hot, and you should strike. It's a time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears your tefillos, and it has the power for Hashem to answer all your prayers of Tavah. So we should all be zochet to take advantage of this holy day of Shmini Atzeres, to really feel connected with God, to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and have tremendous bakas with Hashem. And thank you all for listening.